Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, we're going to take just a minute to update you on the happenings here in Africa. As I spoke during the prayer, we're in a time of waiting for the results of the recently completed election to be determined by the Supreme Court. And so this is a very precarious time for Kenya. And it's a time when we pray that people will be patient and tolerant of each other. People will help each other and be benevolent to each other. And so we thank you for the recently completed election. It was basically pretty peaceful, but the outcome is still yet to be determined. At the children's home, our children are in school. We have about 25 children in various schools around, and we're undergoing some changes out there in the leadership, and so pray for our leadership team. And also, we're still planning on a crusade in September, be late September, possibly pushed back to October now, and we're going to do a crusade over in Arusha in Tanzania. And so pray for the provision for that and for the pastors over there, as well as for our travel and organization team as we get that crusade lined up. So that is what's happening here. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we're going to be talking today about the kingdom of heaven. And the last 3 weeks, if you've been with us, you know we've been talking about hell, and Jesus spoke about hell many times and the reality of hell. And so that's a big subject. If you read through the New Testament, you'll see many stories about hell, but also Jesus spoke many times about heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and he is the supreme representative of heaven that has ever walked on this earth. He came as a man. He came in a manger, born in a manger, born of a Virgin Mary. And so Jesus is the right one to speak to us about heaven. And we look at Matthew chapter 3 before we get to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 3 verse 2, John the Baptist was out preaching in the wilderness area, out in the Jordan River area, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so that's the first reference that I know of in the New Testament. Repent, John said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he was saying is that the kingdom of heaven is coming down, and he was speaking of the Messiah. He was referring to the Messiah. John was the forerunner of the Messiah. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven, John was bringing it down, and it is tied to repentance. In other words, the access to the kingdom of heaven, or the revealing of the kingdom of heaven, is tied to repentance, which means that when you turn from your wicked ways, when you turn from your life of sin, and you turn from a life of struggle with sin, that the kingdom of heaven then is revealed to you. Salvation is revealed to you. And you can know then that heaven is possible here on earth, as well as in heaven itself, as well as in the afterlife, the place, the spiritual place of heaven, which will be revealed to you when you die. And to some extent, it can be revealed to you even while you're alive here on this earth. And so John spoke to the people coming out to the Jordan River, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus said the same thing, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That meant it is possible for you to experience the kingdom of heaven. And just as John the Baptist and Jesus spoke about it, we still speak about it, the kingdom of heaven, because it is the ultimate resting place for believers, for people who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is also the ultimate resting place for people while they're walking here on this earth. There is a place, the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that people can enter into, people can abide in that presence, people can abide in that glory and experience the kingdom of heaven while they're here on this earth. And beloved, as you look around the events and current events of man, not just in USA, but also we have the same situation in Kenya. There's turmoil, chaos. Recently completed elections, there's chaos and pitfalls and traps in every road, in every direction. And so to look to Jesus, to look to the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit counsel you in your daily walk, that is the only way that you're going to experience the kingdom of heaven and not be burdened down, not be struggling and taken down and in despair when you see the events of man, when you see the affairs of man played out in the news every day, and some you may see with your natural eyes. The kingdom of heaven is the alternative to that. And you can rise above, you can actually be seated with Jesus in the heavenly places, and you can rise above the events of man, the daily circumstances and situations and troubles of man, and you can be seated in the heavenly places. Well, Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And so as we spoke in the last 3 weeks about the reality of hell, hell is a place that was created by God for the devil and his angels. And it is not a place that God wants man to reside in. That's why Jesus speaks also about the kingdom of heaven. He's given you the choice. He's given you the alternative of an eternal life in hell, and you can compare that with what Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven. And beloved, for me, my choice was made way long time ago. I was raised up in the church, confessed Jesus at age 9, and was baptized. And so long time ago, I made my decision to follow Jesus Christ. Have I been perfect? No, but I have committed my life to him, and I hope you do too. And so the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is offering an alternative to separation from God, an alternative to rejection of Jesus Christ and rejection of the principles of God. So then let's look at Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to talk here about the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus says is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. Some people call this the parable of the tares in the field. And so Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced crop, then the tares or the weeds also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? How does it have weeds? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, this is a picture of life. Jesus is making a contrast between the tares, which the enemy, the devil, sows the tares, and the enemy is the enemy of your life. He's the enemy of my life. The devil hates it when you come to know the Lord Jesus. The devil hates it when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you are baptized, when you speak of heavenly things, when you speak of the kingdom of heaven. The devil hates it. And the reality is many people are swayed by the devil. through generation curses in her family by demons that attack them, and they don't have the spiritual armor, they don't have the foundation to defeat the devil, defeat the demons in their life, and so they're easily swayed and they're easily taken into death and destruction. As I spoke before, John 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the devil's plan for your life is to destroy you. The devil's plan for your life is to get you involved in destructive behaviors, addictions, pornography, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of destructive behaviors. But the Lord's plan for your life is abundant life, where you can enjoy the fruits of the kingdom of heaven. You can enjoy helping other people, blessing other people, and you can enjoy knowing that you're going to be in heaven for all eternity after you leave this earth. And so Jesus said the tares, the evil one, comes in and plants the tares in the good seed. And so they grow up together. That's life. You may have people in your family that don't know Jesus Christ. You may have people in your workplace that don't know Jesus. Even you yourself, you may not have ever made a decision to accept Jesus. And so you can do that today, even right here as I speak to you on this radio broadcast. But this is life. Some people know the Lord, some people don't. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but I came to bring a sword. And I will divide father from son and mother from daughter and mother-in-law from daughter-in-law. And so the cutting, piercing sword that separates people from the kingdom of God, that sword is active today. It's just as active today as when Jesus was on the earth, but it's a spiritual sword. The kingdom of God isn't about physical conquest. It's not about setting up military rule in any particular place. It's a spiritual aspect. It's a spiritual life. And that spiritual sword is cutting, it's separating, it cuts between the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so that cutting action of the spiritual sword then affects your family, it affects maybe differences between you and your wife, differences between you and your children, differences between you and your boss at your workplace or your fellow workers. And so this spiritual sword then is active, and it is the Word of God. If you're listening to me today, it is piercing your heart. It is doing a work in your heart. And so the Word then is a piercing word. And that is life, that some people come to know Jesus, some people come to confess Him, other people don't, other people actively work against the kingdom. And so that is just life, the spiritual aspect of life. And so then over in verse 37 in Matthew 13, Jesus said that he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He's talking about himself, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares or the weeds are the sons of the wicked one. And the enemy, the devil, has sown them. And the harvest is the end of the age, when the reapers are the angels, and the Lord sends his angels then to reap the harvest. That'll be rapture, when those who are dead in Christ shall be caught up, their bodies, their spiritual bodies shall be caught up with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17. They will be caught up with the Lord, and they will go to heaven with him. Then those who are alive and remain, those of us who are alive and remain, if Jesus comes while we're walking on this earth, those who are alive and remain then will be also caught up, and we will go with the Lord to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and all of those who have confessed his name will then sit down together at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And so Jesus said in verse 39, chapter 13, the enemy has sowed them, and the harvest is the end of the age, the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in a fire, so it will be at the end of this age. And so that's a reference to hell. And eventually, Revelation chapter 20, They are all those who have rejected Jesus, those who have not confessed his name. They will all be sent into the lake of fire, thrown into the lake of fire, and that is their eternal abode, separated from God, separated from the Lord, separated from any joy, and they will have eternal pain, eternal torment, eternal suffering because of their rejection of the Lord that Father God sent to save man from his sins. Verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. In other words, the separation between the wheat and the tares will take place. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, Mark chapter 9 says that the worm never dies, the fire never goes out, the torment in hell is unspeakable. The torment in hell is unfathomable. You can't even imagine how painful and how torturous a place it's going to be. And so you need to today embrace the kingdom of heaven. You need to embrace the salvation that is offered to you in the kingdom of heaven. Embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then verse 43, Jesus speaks about the kingdom of heaven. He said, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the righteous will shine forth in heaven. There will be no sun, but you will shine forth as the sun. The Father is the light up there in heaven. The streets are made of gold. You have a mansion being prepared for you in heaven. If you are a believer, if you are born again and you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a mansion. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And so that mansion that the angels are preparing for you is dependent upon your work here on this earth, not according to salvation, but according to your works. Your salvation is guaranteed. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your salvation is guaranteed. But the size and extent and magnificence of your mansion is dependent upon your work here that you do for the kingdom of God. And so Jesus said in verse 43, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, and he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, I hope you have ears to hear today, beloved. I hope that you are receiving this message. Jesus Christ spoke in parables, and he spoke this simple message about the tares in the field to show people that there's going to be a harvest, a spiritual harvest at the end of this age. And this harvest then will separate the weeds. Who wants weeds in their bin? Who wants weeds in their silo? No, I don't want weeds in my silo. The Lord doesn't want weeds in his silo. If you have weedy wheat and you put a bunch of green weeds in the bin with your wheat, it will heat up. It will cause it to weed up. It may get moldy. It may get ruined. And so farmers set their combines. They don't like weedy wheat. They don't like weedy maize or any other kind of weedy crops. They set their combines and they set their cleaners to get that weeds and the weed seeds out, and they want good grain going up into their silo. And that's what God wants. He wants good grain. He wants good wheat going up into the kingdom of heaven. And so that is that parable of the tares of the field. Well, another parable that Jesus spoke also in verse 31 in Matthew 13, another parable he put to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Well, this is a picture also of the kingdom of heaven. And if any of you have ever planted mustard seed, you know that the seed is very tiny. It's about the size of a Bic pen, about the size of a dot of a Bic ballpoint pen. And so the other seeds of cabbage and kale, other brassica seeds, are of that same family. Even turnips are of that family. And the seed is very, very tiny. You almost have to put some wood ashes or sawdust or something with it so that when you put it in the row, you can tell where you have planted and where you need to plant. And so that seed is very tiny, but when it starts to grow, it gets very, very big. You can get a 10-pound cabbage. If you live in Alaska, you can get a 10-pound cabbage off one little teeny tiny mustard seed. Here in Kenya, we grow kale a lot. They call it Sukuma Wiki, which is food to the end of the week, and they call it Sukuma. And so the kale here sometimes gets 2 to 3 feet tall. We have some in our garden out there at the children's home that's 2 to 3 feet tall. It gets very big. And the leaves get as big as a big elephant ear plant leaf. And so this Sukuma then is a big plant started from a little teeny tiny seed. And that's the picture Jesus is giving us of the kingdom of God. He's saying it comes from a little tiny seed, but it is magnificent in its size. It's magnificent in its splendor and its grandeur. And so this kingdom of God will never end. The increase of the kingdom of God will never end. And if you fertilize that Sukuma plant even more, it can get even bigger. If you fertilize that cabbage plant even more, it can get even bigger. And Jesus said there's some kind of mustard plant that apparently gets big enough that the birds of the air can come and nest in it. And so that is like the kingdom of God. There is no limit to the increase of the kingdom of God. And beloved, there's missionaries over here in Africa, in every country. There's missionaries all around me here in Kenya. Not a lot, but there's some. We need many more. But when I go to other countries, I'm amazed. There's many churches in Uganda. There's many churches in Rwanda and Burundi, Congo, places that I've been. The kingdom of God has pretty much saturated and permeated the whole earth. There are still many tribes that have not heard the word of God. And so that's the challenge for us as believers, is to take the kingdom message to them, take the word of God to them, get Bibles to them. But by the grace of God, because of technology, many people who have never heard the word are able to hear it over the internet, hear it through live streaming programs on different social media platforms. And so the kingdom of God is being preached all over the earth, and the increase of the kingdom of God will never end. The increase of the government of Jesus Christ will never end. He is our everlasting Father. He is our Prince of Peace. And the government rests upon his shoulders. And so the kingdom of heaven is a place. It's a real place. It's in a spirit realm, but it's a very real place. And when you take your last breath here on this earth, beloved, I hope that you find yourself in the kingdom of heaven. I hope that you find yourself in the place of heaven, rejoicing with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and rejoicing with the angels, with Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all of your family members that have gone on before you and accepted Jesus. And so I hope you know that today, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that when you take your last breath here, that when your life's race is run, that you will be resting then with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that with our heart we believe, resulting in righteousness. So it starts in your heart. I pray that this word is piercing your heart today. With your heart you believe, resulting in righteousness, and with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. And so confession is a part of receiving the kingdom of heaven. If you've never confessed Jesus, I pray that you do that today. Get down on your knees, repent, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, of your wicked life, of your wayward life, and ask the Lord to forgive you. He will forgive you. He is gracious and will forgive your sin and forget about them as far as the east is from the west. And then when you confess, you can have that guilt and that shame and all that burden of carrying the weight of your sin. It can be lifted off of you. And then find a good church, find a Bible-believing church, get a Bible if you don't have one, start reading it, get a Bible and read it, consume it, let it be your daily food, and then get in that Bible-believing church, get active to do the works that God has prepared for you to do beforehand, even before you were born. Well, let me know if you make that decision today. Let me know, and we can get some literature to you and get you on your way, started on your Christian walk, and you can experience for yourself then the kingdom of heaven. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry as we have these projects going in Africa, the children's home, the church, the crusades that we preach. We invite you to partner with us. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a check today. Let us know that you're listening, and we can rejoice with you if you make a decision also this day. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.